Hello again. It's been such a remarkable period of time in the island's recent history as we continue medical life as if the raging of the viral plague just a short distance away from these shores is just something now of a curiosity. Several weeks with no tested positive cases for COVID-19. We aren't, though, in any shape or form, even mildly complacent or smug. As the tiny percentage of island residents who have actually shown to have COVID, those tested positive, or have surprised themselves by being antibody test positive, show us. The island's GPs this week have had an update from the Nobles team with plans in place, just in case it comes back. It would be, well, counterintuitive to expect us here to continue as we are presently doing, unless a vaccine suddenly pops up, is both effective and, more importantly, available for all and sundry. How many, though, would wish to have a vaccine? So new, who knows? Flu jabs are hard enough for some to be persuaded of the benefits of, let alone a brand new thing. Interestingly, flu levels in the Far East and Australia, typically an indication of what's to come during our winter, for this season anyway, have been relatively low, so far anyway. Possibly extra stringent measures in place dealing with COVID, playing a major part here in reducing transmission, relatively isolating vulnerable adults, excluding children from freedom of school and nursery contracts, etc. Coronavirus, though, loves colder temperatures, ideally thriving at about 4 or 5 degrees, be warned. So let's be ready for some new activity, is the watchword, methinks. Meanwhile, life trundles on. Seeing some babies recently as part of a screening clinic for 8-weekers reminded me of just how different we all are. Even at that stage, they were all completely different. I remember an embryologist years ago who dealt with tiny clusters of cells. I mean, tiny things under a microscope. It seemed to me anyway, telling me the differences in cell activity, male versus female, old versus young cells, even a few days apart. So, all these petite forms, one after the other, in the surgery the other day, one had a rash, worrying the mum. Of course, rashes do worry mums. It was classic, and it sounds alarming but isn't, erythema toxicum. Medics have weird names for stuff sometimes, don't they? Derived from Latin, Greek or Roman words, all a bit classic, sometimes they simply describe something and that's it, in funny words. Common rashes in infants are things like erythema toxicum, cutis marmorata, I think it's called, even seborrheic dermatitis, if involving the scalp, that's just cradle cap. A funny enough term in itself. This naming of parts, though, to borrow that title from an interesting poem by Henry Reed from the 1940s, wherein he goes through a tick list of parts of an Enfield rifle whilst meandering into life, war, world in general, is a masterstroke of double meaning and brainwaves. Likewise, medically, when medical staff use a term such as erythema toxicum, it means just that, no more, no less, as Humpty Dumpty would say in Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass. I wonder if a term such as Humpty Dumpty, though, would possibly pass the test of appropriate language now. Possibly not. Imagine calling a patient Humpty Dumpty. Flip. We medics used to use the term Pickwickian syndrome. Get written up from time to time. Nowadays, it maybe would be described as, well, obesity hypoventilation syndrome. There's problems with your breathing due to simply size or state of obesity. Pickwickian, a term coined from a reference to a very large, dare I say, fat lad called Joe, as described by Charles Dickens in the Pickwick Papers, written back in the 1830s. You see, it's true. As the French would say, plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. The more things change, the more they just stay the same. 200 years ago, a similar baby rushed to the local quack with such a rash would be told, oh, it's nothing. It's just a mysterious thing we call Erythema toxicum. Oh, funny old world there, isn't it? Till next week, cheerio.